Snap Judgments for Snap Fitness, on a mission to help you feel fantastic. Among my Snap Judgments, we've allowed a young player in Jack Ginnivan to be demonised, and I think that's just awful. And we all have played a role in that, all of us. What is Zane Cornedy actually defending when he fronts the tribunal tomorrow night? There is no charge. I'd argue that that's unconstitutional, even in the AFL. Unconstitutional. The return of Ben Cunnington was beautiful. The exasperation and despair of Saints fans was brutal. And a spoiler, Richmond's going into my seedings, just trying to figure out how high to put them. Oh, and to the 35 of you who are clever enough to have the Swans in second place in the ladder predictor, out of 1,500, 35 of you, salute. You are in the box seat. The Open Line, effective freight solutions, delivering simple freight solutions to help grow your business. Visit efs.net.au. It's all yours, 1-300-736-736. Before the means test with David King, Sam Edmund is working the phones. There are ructions at Essendon. Bruno's in Burwood. Welcome to you, Bruno.
Morning, Jared. Just quickly, I think there are two things that are happening at Essendon which are which are interrelated. The first thing is that Ben Rutten wasn't actually appointed to perform this task. He was appointed at the end of 2019 with a very different list, and that was to add the defensive element to whatever it was that Worsfold couldn't do. The second point is that Brunton is not the sort of person that anyone in Essendon listens to. Dodoro controls that club. He controls the football department. There are memories of fights with Josh Marnie. He simply doesn't have the gravitas to get Essendon to where it wants to go. And so he might be a very nice guy. He might be a very, very capable coach, but he'll never work at Essendon. Excuse me, I'm walking, which is why I'm breathless.
You're right, Bruno, as you've given pretty good voice to your snap judgment. Thank you. Justin's in Ferntree Gully. Welcome, Justin.
Jared, good morning. 30-year Essendon member. My three children have been Essendon members since birth. But I tell you, last night was a real tipping point for me. That was almost like an amateur football club playing a professional football club. Some of the efforts were just completely unacceptable. And heads must roll for that performance last night. I mean, yes, I cannot front up week after week trying to explain these garbage performances to my children. It's just completely unacceptable, and I am just, yeah, the emotional connection with that football club is just on the decline by the week. It almost becomes a bit of a, we're a laughing stock. We have been for a number of years, and I just don't see a way forward. And I probably see maybe three or four players that are off the table from a trade perspective. I reckon the rest are fair game. It's just a really bleak time to be an Essendon supporter.
Justin, thank you. Yes. Not to be tolerated, not to be accepted, but what does that actually look like? Andrew's in Nidri. You were the lone Essendon voice last week, Andrew. You've got company this week. Yeah. Welcome.
Well, yes, and I think I'll have more by the end of the day, I think. Look, my heart was broken yesterday. I fell in love with the club in 1964, when I was 7 years old. We've had ups and downs, and basically, we've had some fantastic periods, and we've had some really poor periods. But the effort yesterday by those so-called Essendon players, the coach's response, the silence from the board, it's just not on. I want to know why. Why have we not been able to assemble a team to be competitive? This is not just yesterday's game. This is not last week. This is the whole year. This is the last 20 years. Okay? And they're glossing over the issues. And I really believe that they need to shake up the board. There's certain people on that board who are there basically shouldn't be there. The coach should be let go today. And I don't care, we can have a fill-in coach. I don't care. He has to go. And the trade table needs to be full of those Essendon players because they're soft. They will not. Watching that game yesterday, there was a number of players who did not want to get hurt, did not want to put their bodies in because Port Adelaide brought the pressure. They backed off, and that happens every week. And the captain, I'm sorry, he does not inspire me at all. And, you know, he had four touches of the football in the last 5 minutes of the game, two handballs and a couple of little kickies to get his stats up. Okay, it looked pathetic. All we want as Essendon supporters is effort. Don't care if we win or lose, is effort. Okay, if we go on the ground, we play really well and we lose, I think every Essendon supporter will say, well, I watched Essendon sides who were pretty poor, but they gave effort. We know we were outclassed, but we lost. Next week's game's irrelevant. I don't care if they come out and beat Richmond next week. They'll just gloss over all the problems we've had, and they might feel good for the game, but there's some core issues at that club which need to be sorted out, and I think they need to go right, or someone needs to go through, or have a revolt of the membership. 85,000 members, and they treat us like this.
Yep.
It's not good enough. And we just need to do something, Jared, and I just hope everybody gets on board and start kicking up a stink.
Pitchforks at the gates, burning torches out at Tullamarine. It's a club that can't sit still today. We wait to see what emerges. John's in Tilbo. Welcome, John.
Jared, I'm an Essendon supporter, and like the previous caller, I've been following Essendon since I was a little boy. And look, I'm getting a little bit fed up of hearing Ben Rutten talk about consistency and opportunity. They need to start talking about things like ticker, grit, aggression, determination, just standing up. I mean, yesterday was not just embarrassing, it was humiliating. I think the label of too nice it fits perfectly to our players and our coach too. I mean, I don't know what he's like behind closed doors, but look, and I've been saying it for a couple of years. I think the supplements thing has given Essendon this thing. Well, we've got to do the right thing. We've got to be good. We can't get into trouble. Don't get reported. Don't do this. Don't do that. There's some players who've got talent there, but they've got to show a bit of mongrel. There's a lot of positivity, but in their attitude. But at the same time, we need to see some aggression. Like Kyle Langford, Dyson Heppel, Parrish, Dylan Shield, they're good players. They've got talent, but they've got no mongrel in them. We need to get some aggression. We need to fight. And they're not fighting. They're not. I'm almost lost for words, Jared. I don't know what to say. And I don't know if they've backed the coach. He's going to be there next year. But, unless there's a big turnaround, I can't see him, seeing out his contract.
Yeah,
probably be back halfway through the year.
There's usually a rotten core at the middle of a performance like that, and that's for Essendon to find. John, thank you. James is in Maribyrnong. Welcome, James. James, just turn. You're on.
Yep. Sorry. Yeah, how you going? I'm a Essendon member. Been my whole life. I brought my 5-year-old yesterday to the game, right? And he asked me, and he said, "Oh, Dad, how come we're getting smashed?" And I said to him, in all honesty, mate, I don't know. And when I listen to expert commentators like yourselves, who I appreciate your opinion, and Kings and everyone else, I listen to them. But no one actually tells us what we're missing. And people say go to the trade table for what? We go and get the best player in the league, for example. The same thing's going to keep happening. We don't have what we need as a club. It's not the coach's fault or as an individual or the captain's fault as an individual. We could get the best player in the league and the same thing will keep happening. I'd love to hear the experts to actually pick our team apart, not for the plays, but for why this happens. It's been years and we can say the same thing if we notice all the wrong things that we do, but no one is actually saying, or even inside the club, no one is actually saying, well, this is happening for this exact reason. Or we just try and think about or analyse just we go around and around in circles. The next year, the same thing keeps happening. I don't want to see us on the trade table. We have a decent list. What are we going to get in? Somebody that's just going to do the same thing. We've only got Dylan Shield, for God's sake, and look how he turned out. I don't know the answer for why we do this, and I'd love for you guys as the experts to tell us or give us Essendon supporters something to look at and say, well, we can see that's where the problem is.
What I would like to see, James, is what are the private findings that have all involved convinced that success is coming, and how do they balance out against what we've seen publicly throughout the season? So what were the findings of the football department review that have them so certain that everything is on track? James, thank you. Reg is in Ringwood. Welcome, Reg.
Hey, Jared, it feels like Groundhog Day again, doesn't it, with the Bombers? I was there yesterday and there was white-hot anger amongst Essendon supporters. And I don't mean just a low temperature. That something has to happen. I think the coach has to go. The leadership is poor. They're not tough enough. They're not ruthless enough. They don't tackle enough. They don't care enough. And they are going to lose a generation of supporters that have never seen a premiership and never seen a winning final. And I worry that they're going to gloss over things with this current review. You know, they'll appoint some senior assistant and everyone pats themselves on the back. Oh, yeah, we did that. I think it's not minor change here. They need to really turn the place upside down. And I would go hard at Clarkson. He is the best coach in the last 20 years. He's ruthless. He knows how to win premierships. He knows how to win, put winning teams together. They'd be mad not to be on the phone to him today asking him what it's going to take to get him at Essendon next year.
Reg, thank you. Daniel's in Pascoe Vale on the Dons as well. Daniel, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Jared. I think the overall feeling, for me anyway, is more disappointment over anger. The fact that we keep getting dished up these performances from this group, and whether it is coaching or players, whatever it has been, but I think the most frustrating part for all members and supporters is that the messaging that comes across from Ben Rutten and Josh Marnie when he does an interview after the game in the rooms, it's just the same bland messages. We don't stand for anything at the moment as a football club, and it's just really frustrating to listen to it every week. I've actually, you know, almost stopped listening to it because it's just the same message after week, and you just get sick and tired of hearing it. So something has to change. From any part of the club, we need fresh eyes in there, and hopefully that'll turn around, because I think after the last couple of weeks, we thought there was a bit more optimism for next season, but looks like it's going to be another grim season.
Daniel, thank you for your snap judgment. So we'll broaden out in a tick. Let me share this collection of Carlton snap judgments. Kate from Hobart. Good morning, Jared. As an utterly broken and bereft Carlton fan, I only have one question for you. Will I ever love footy again? Cheers, Kate from Hobart. Hopefully on Sunday, Kate. Hopefully on Sunday. Fitzy, unlosable wasn't quite the correct word, but I walk away as a Carlton supporter proud of the future compared to where we have been over the past decade. Drakus, I couldn't sleep Saturday night. Just kept reliving the last 2 minutes over and over. Great effort. All night, though. Optimistic blue boy. Go Blues. I'm a Carlton supporter, Jared. No, as a supporter, I'm not going through a forensic investigation of that. The coaches can. But as a supporter, I'm not looking at that ever again. 0433 98 11 16 1300 736 736. Snap judgments ahead of the means test. Our snap judgments for Snap Fitness is with you every step of the way. Snapfitness.com.au. Your snap judgments after round 22. There's some rippers here on the text, which I'll save for you. Let's ping through some calls. Matt's in Cheltenham. Matt, fire away.
Yeah, good morning, Jared. I understand you've got Brett Ratton on tonight on 360.
Yes.
Good. Okay, got a job for you. This is a snap request. Now, on behalf of all the St Kilda members, can you please ask him as to how he can be in such denial and so egotist that he would refuse outside help, regardless of the cost, whether it's free or $1 million for Max. Max went and actually sought his own help after the Geelong debacle last year. He kicked 0-5 or 0-6, I think, against Port in the 1-point loss in Cairns. And we all know what happened Friday night. Each time, Matthew Lloyd has gone on the Sunday Footy Show, a couple of times with Nathan Brown to dissect technically what's wrong. And Ratten says he hasn't got any flaws, quote unquote. It's actually insulting to the people that actually pay his wages. It's actually really insulting. So I'd like you, on behalf of all the St Kilda members that pay his salary, to prosecute that point and ask how in good conscience he can sit there and say that he won't be seeking any outside help.
Matt, thank you. I'll take that under advisement. It will certainly be a topic of our discussion, I'm sure. Steve's in South Morang. Fire away, Steve.
How are you going, Jared? I'm a Collingwood supporter. Just want to get your thoughts on what you thought about Channel 7, the way they showed Jack Inniman sitting on the bench. Like, they showed it once, he got booed by the crowd, which is, I don't care if he gets booed by the crowd, that's part of footy, I think. But then they had to show it two times, then they had to show it again three times so he could keep getting booed. The kid has put his hand up and said he's suffering a little bit from the crap that he's been getting. And a TV station puts it on two, three times. What for? What was the meaning of that? He was off. He'd been off for 2.5 quarters.
Yes, well, it's newsworthy that he was out of the game, and you usually recap these things along the way. But collectively, all of us, we have demonised this young man, and it's awful. It's actually despicable what we're doing to him. And he's told us the effect that it's having, and it seems to have had no impact in our footy community. Trisha's in Abbotsford. Hello, Trisha.
Hi, good morning, Jared. Thank you for pointing out Jack Ginnivan's plight. The media seems to love demonising players over the years for whatever reason, I don't know. Toby Green was once a whipping boy for whatever reason. Well, you know, people have their opinion about that. But, you know, please, Mark Robinson seems to love bullying you on 360 that I watch every night. The only person that put him in his place was, you know, the young female reporter when you were away doing other things.
Kath's handled him better than I have. Our relationship is not one of bullying. It's around a footy conversation. So I won't get lost in that. You say the media, it's the whole football community. It's all the people who chose to boo him when he was shown on the screen. Why on earth would we be doing that to an injured player at a game? Paul's in Ringwood. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, good day, Jared. Look, Kevin Bartlett got the same treatment when they brought in the Bartlett rule in the 60s. But look, my snap judgments on Carlton are simple. Number one, we don't know how to finish off a game. Number two, Carlton players and Melbourne players and everyone in the crowd may think there's a free kick to Cripps. So if the umpire doesn't pay it, it's not a free kick. And snap judgment number three is that if you want to restrict or retard your opponent, all you've got to do is hug him, because the umpires refuse to pay a free kick against whoever initiates the action.
Hugging's permitted, Paul. Good on you. Thanks for your snap judgments. Rod's in Listerfield. Welcome, Rod.
Morning, Jared. Thanks for having me on your show.
Welcome aboard.
Mate, just on Carlton briefly, I think all supporters should be very happy with the year that we've had under Michael Voss. He's clearly the right coach for the club. And I actually was at Casey Field yesterday, and he was gutted about the performance. You could tell he didn't say much. We tried to talk to him. But Carlton's heading in the right direction. They've got a great playing list, which they're probably not quite there yet, but for all the supporters, we've just got to stand by the club. They're heading in the right direction. The trajectory is definitely going the right way, Jared.
They made a heroic stand on Saturday night and were on the wrong end of it, cruelly, unimaginably cruel, I think, at the end. Rods, keep the faith. Joe's in Forest Hill. Welcome, Joe.
Morning, Jared. Just an observation, one of your previous calls about what's wrong with Essendon. When I look at them from, and I don't barrack for Essendon, but when I look at it, I don't see a spine, which then you fill in the surroundings to that spine to make yourself a good team. I just don't see it. It's all fill-ins, and the midfield is just one of same old, same old. And I think with their coach, the criticism I would have is there's no plan B when things aren't going right. What do you move? How do you move the chess players? They're the things I observe out of an Essendon. And just on Carlton, I do think Voss is the right man, because to get those blokes playing like they did on Saturday night with all the injuries that they have got, it was good. It was a really good effort. So I did see a plan B for once coming out of Michael Voss.
Yep.
Thanks.
Good on you, Joe. Great snap judgments.